This is Kurt.
I'm Jason.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the MFG Cast. We are going to be talking about Karuba from Haba. I Karuba. That's good. Yeah. I don't know.
I keep going back and forth in my head between the I Karuba or Karuba coffee from a gas station.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, both.
Karuba?
My mind's a little bit.
Oh, lower. That's from Quick Trip, right?
Right.
Yeah. Which is, if you're from the Midwest, you would know. If you're from anywhere else, you probably would never know.
Right. They sell coffee, not condoms. Little fact there for you. Know why you're going to
Quick Trip. Wow. So if you're going to Quick Trip and you need a condom, you're out of luck.
Yeah, don't go
there. Oh, boy. There's probably been a lot of kids that have been reproduced because they went to their local Quick Trip and then just couldn't find one.
Right.
And then we're just like, nah, okay, I'm going way off topic and I'm going to get into some territory we probably don't want to get into.
I was ready. I'm ready. This is a not safe for work podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Now we're joking. You can keep listening. Keep the kids around. Keep talking about coffee and Karuba.
That's right.
Actually, why don't we talk about a board game?
Yeah, let's talk about a board game. Okay. Karuba by Haba Games. The designer is Rüdiger Dorn.
It's a good name.
It's a good name. This game plays 40 minutes. I think that's bull crap.
Yeah.
Two to four players.
For the first one ever, I think you play under, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, learning has a curve. So maybe the first game, 40 minutes.
I am a slow learner.
Mm-hmm. And it says you can play ages 8 to 99. I would love to see a 99-year-old play this game.
I want to see a 100-year-old person play this game just to prove them wrong.
That's right. That'd be great.
I want to see a 100-year-old person play against a 7-year-old person. Just more or less
be great.
Like, F you, Haba.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're talking about. I know. But I think 8 is probably a good...
It's a good age.
Yeah, I think that's a good estimation of where a kid could probably play this. If you had a kid that understands stuff, they could probably go a little bit younger. You might have a couple 8-year-olds that maybe aren't as organizationally talented that maybe needed to wait a year or two. I can see that.
That's true.
Heck, I'm 45 and I still barely could figure it out.
I know, right? Haba usually makes kid-based games. I put that in quotations. But every once in a while, they come out with games that I feel like I think everybody could play their games. But this is, I think, something that can be played, you know, smaller age to bigger age, whatever. It's kind of a programming game. That's what I would consider it as, because you're tiling, you're trying to find your path, but it's also kind of like this programming where you have to make sure that your adventurers can get to the treasure, basically.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a programming game, but now that you've said it, like I see the it, you know, the game board does kind of look like a microchip when you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are some games that are made for specifically kids that play, adults can play with them that are program-based so they can learn that stuff. So, you know, if they have things at school that involve programming, it's a little easier for them to kind of, you know, do that.
I like that. You just upped my nerd level.
Thank you.
Just learn some more here.
Da 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 da
da da da da.
You're so welcome. So in this game, basically you have this, what is it? Like a 6x6 board for putting out your tiles.
6x5.
6x5? Okay, perfect. You are putting your adventurers randomly on degrees on the board. Then you're putting your temples on the opposite sides, basically, or kind of like corners.
Right. One side of the board is your starting point, and the other side of the board, the other two sides, kitty corner, are your destination, more or less.
Yeah.
And you have tiles with paths that you set out on that 5x6 grid. Everybody has their own board, but they're matching. They're identical, and you set them up identical. So you're playing identical games with different strategy on your own board in front of you.
Yeah.
Trying to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, and you have numbered tiles. I can't remember what they start to and go to or whatever. Yeah,
like 1 through 36 or something
like that. Yeah. And one person is stacking theirs up randomly where everyone else is setting theirs out so they can see the numbers. And then that,
you can see all of your tiles, but you don't know when you're going to get them.
Yes.
Which is a cool thing.
Yeah, and it's even more random for the person that actually is putting out or taking the tiles themselves because they can't really see it. They can look at the other person's tiles, but you can't really see your own. So then you would take that top tile. It tells you the number, and you can do one of two things. You can either put that tile on your board, setting it where the number is always on the top left corner, but you can always put it on anywhere on your board, or you can discard that tile and move a certain amount of spaces depending upon the
exits.
Yeah, I think it's exit points on those tiles.
One through four moves, basically. Or two through four moves, basically.
Yeah. So it's a fun little, like, okay, do I put this one here eventually so I can hook up this other one here so I can get to this temple here? But I also don't want to make sure that I don't accidentally put something here where it blocks off my path to go this way.
You can't cut yourself off. You also can't move through each other. So if you connect two paths at the opposite ends of a long run, one of your adventurers has to get all the way through it before the other one can come through. So you got to kind of pay attention to that while you're setting it up too. I really like this game. I like that you can see all your tiles all the time, so you know you're going to get all of them. You just don't know what order they're coming up in, so you really have to think it through about how you want to do your layout beforehand to be able to actually move your adventurer.
Yeah.
And knowing that you're probably not going to be able to move all of your adventurers through. You're going to have to pick which ones you're going to do because you're just not going to have enough tiles and enough time to get all of them across by having to go past each other.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Like, the whole gameplay itself is very simple, but there's a lot of strategies, and I don't know how many times I know both Tracy and I were like, shoot, I just realized that three turns ago I screwed myself. Now I can't, you know, where I set one right in front of my, whatever the destination point is called, the temple or whatever.
Yeah,
I set one right in front of it that didn't allow me to get to that temple. It's like three turns later, I'm going, what the heck did I do? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple thing, but there's so many different variables to your own board, whether you want to discard your tiles to move, where if you really let yourself get into the weeds and are trying to plan out your tiles plus how you're gonna move with them, you can kind of get lost in it for a second.
Yeah.
And hose yourself when you're thinking about, okay, for this guy I need to put this here.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna try and find one of these tiles so I can move a certain amount of points, and then you lay down a different tile that you weren't thinking about and go, oh crap, I needed that one for over here.
Yeah.
Now I can't move.
Yeah. Well, you only get so many of, like, the pieces that where there's the four paths. So, like, if you, it opens up your guys to be able to get to places a little easier, but then you're also discarding four moves, basically, and it would get your adventurers to get to those temples quicker.
Yeah, definitely. I know I wanted to keep those as often as possible, make sure I got them on the board, because they do allow you to move, but then you run out of, you can't actually move your guys, so you almost have to use them. That's a really good point.
So the ways that you score is you want to get to your temples fastest, but there's also levels of points too. So, like, if you get there last, you'll still get points. You just won't get as much. But then there's also crystals on the board and or on the tiles and gold. So if you end your move there, you will actually get those for victory points. I think it's one per crystal, two per gold or something like that.
Yeah, so it's got diminishing returns. So, like, let's say that there's a purple temple. If I'm the first one to get to the purple temple, I'll get 5 points. The second person that gets to their
Purple Temple then would get like 3 points or whatever it is. So there's diminishing returns. So there is something to be said to be able to just get your person there as fast as possible. But also, if you can get all of your guys through, you're still going to get more points, even if you're not the first one to get to any of them, but you're the one that gets all of them there. So there is some strategy. Also, out on the board, there's some symbols that allow you to pick up some jewels or whatever on your way that also give you victory points towards the end. So for a very simple game, there's a lot of strategy.
It is.
An 8-year-old could play this with a 45-year-old and use their own level of thinking on it and still be competitive.
Yeah.
Like, there is no right way to play this. I know we played it a couple of times. And when you do have the strategy, it does become easier to kind of figure out how you're going to lay things out. But that doesn't mean that it makes it easier to win the game by any means.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like you said, with the diminishing returns, like, every game is a little different because you don't know which tiles are coming up and what you're going to use. And then it's like, oh, I like having this tile to be able to get to this area. But then later on, you're like, I should have just ditched that one so I could have moved quicker to get to wherever. And you also have to pay attention to everybody else. It's like, oh, I got to the pink, or I got to the purple spot. Oh, shit, you got there already. So now I got less points than you. And I was really focused on getting here where I maybe should have gotten the blue because no one's gotten that one yet.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, you might try to rush to get to one because you're like, okay, I've got a clear path that's not going to cut anything off. If I just go straight across, I already got a tile that allows another adventurer to be able to pass through this path. And now tiles are coming up so I can do a straight run right through. Oh, shoot. But now I blocked off a path for this other person. Or, yeah, I got there fast, but somebody else got there one turn before I did, so I still get fewer points. And they set theirs up in a way that allows them to also get to this other one now where I just cut myself off because I was just thinking about that. So
yeah,
for sure. You really have to pay attention. The whole cutting yourself off because you're on your own board.
Yeah.
So everybody is playing their own game simultaneously. I almost got there.
It took a little bit, but you did get there. That's usually me that does that.
I sounded that one out in my own head.
nice. And out loud, apparently.
So everybody's playing simultaneously.
Yes.
But you're playing your own game. The only way that you're actually interacting is by who's getting to the temples first. Other than that, you're doing your own thing. But you're still just cutting yourself off. So you have nobody to blame but yourself when something goes sideways.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, man, I screwed myself.
Yeah, and that's funny. And the funny thing, too, is you want to, sometimes with games like this, you want to just be like, you screwed me over. But like you said, with this one, it's like, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Right.
You know?
You should have paid better.
Yeah.
You messed up, but you don't have anyone to blame. Back. I just keep thinking about the one where I had it just like all laid out in my head, and it was beautiful, and it was perfect, and the way it was set up, and the first tile I laid, I was like, I've got this whole thing, like, this is going to be perfect, I'm going to get all four people across, I'm probably going to be first on at least two of them, and then I set a freaking tile sideways in front of one of my things, and totally took that one out, so I was like, oh, what are you doing?
I'm famously terrible at planning ahead, but for some reason with this game, I don't ever have a problem, which is weird. Because, like, if you play like a card game where it's like, okay, I need to get these cards and I need to do these in a certain way where I can chain these, and then in the future I've got this game locked.
Yep.
I can't do that. For some reason, my brain will not let me.
The only way I can do that is if I can just focus on what I am doing, and it's just going to be like, all right, we're playing the game and we're just focusing, and it's just boom, turn. But that is not how I function when I'm playing games with my friends.
Yes.
I want to talk. There's multiple things going on.
So
I lose track of it.
Yeah.
It's like, and then I come back and start to focus again. It's like, all right, what was I going to do? I put that one sideways.
Exactly. Yeah. Easy to do.
No, good game overall.
Yeah,
for sure. I could play this one. I think this is one where you can play it over and over and over, because every game is completely different.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same ideas, but you're never going to have the same game twice.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got an easy learning curve, easy gameplay. Like we said, like, it says 40 minutes, but once you get into it, it probably takes you about 20.
Yeah, I guess you read the instructions. How were the instructions on this one?
Very good. Hama's always been really good about laying out instructions very well.
Without even having read the instructions, I think that this is one where you could probably just give a quick glance through them and learn by playing.
Yeah.
Like, it really is very basic. Like, some of how you get points and the order of doing things, I know those are a couple of things that we checked, but it really is just, okay, how do we set the game board up? Like, read the game setup and then more or less just start playing, because you're putting your tiles out.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, once you know how to do the game setup and you know how you're going to lay your tiles out, that's pretty much the rules.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
It's
very well done. The art's pretty cool for being a basic game. It looks cool. It looks like a path through a jungle.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you could even do it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. This is one of those games that I think we've actually talked about this in the past, but it's been probably over 10 years probably, but it's a game that even bringing this back to the table, it's like, wow, this game is still so much fun, and I can't recommend it enough to anybody.
Yeah, I feel like this could be one of those where, whether you're having a family get-together and you're just sitting around and you're like, hey, should we play a game?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this could be that, or like we have our weekly game night.
Yes.
I feel like this could almost just be that backup game where it's like, man, I know I was supposed to pick a game, but I had a rough week or a busy week.
Yeah.
A great week, but I didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
Let's play Karuba.
Yeah.
Like, I would have no problem with that, where this one is just played over and over, no matter what. It's always going to be a good time.
Yeah, and even when we first brought this out and I was going to teach you this, I just barely read over the rules because I was like, I remember this game. I remember how this goes. So, like, the only reason we went back to the instructions is just for small clarifications.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot. If you can just be like, I can just grab this off the shelf at any time and, like, let's just go.
Yeah. This is one where, you know, I almost can't even call myself a novice anymore. I feel like it's starting to feel sad. I like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is that game where, if you're getting together, I know we talked about how at family holidays, sometimes my family, we would try and play games we couldn't because we had some of those family members that just couldn't understand rules to games. They just couldn't follow along. They maybe just didn't have the mental capacity, whatever, to play a game with a lot of rules.
Yeah.
This is one that the couple of family members I'm thinking about could easily get this game, and then everybody can have fun with it. So you don't have to be a veteran board gamer. You don't have to be a hardcore gamer. You don't have to be great at reading instructions, which I am notoriously terrible at reading instructions and understanding games.
Yeah.
This one gets by all of that. Like, as long as you can understand that you can connect path to other paths and know who, like, that it's your turn now, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's more or less all you have to know.
Yeah.
Like, once the game board is set up, you're good to go. The rules are almost non-existent because it's so easy to play.
Yeah, for sure.
Which doesn't mean that it's not complicated to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those where, easily you can play it no matter what, but there's a lot of strategy to it. It's just how you play it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So,
very enjoyable game.
Yeah, I like for it. Sure. For sure.
Have I said that I like this game?
Yeah, I think you said you like this
game. Did you like this game?
I love this game. So.
I love this game.
Yeah, sorry. I had a one up on that one.
There's always that. Speaking of family members.
I love this one.
I remember when I played a game that was greater than that. Yeah, you didn't, because Karuba's a great game.
That's right. So go ahead and check it out. I think it's still available at your local board game store. Or you can find
Shop
it.
Local.
Or you can find it online. Go to Haba's website, maybe. I bet you find it on there as well.
See what other games they have. Now I'm interested to see their other games.
That's right.
This one is cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep. They have a lot of great games.
Did we say Shop Local?
Shop Local.
We did.
Yeah.
Check out your local game store.
That's right.
There we go. I love it.
Buy Karuba.
Say it so many times.
That's right. Shop Local.
Shop Local.
No, Shop Local.
You know what? I like to shop local before you shop local.
Oh, man.
But you can shop local after I do.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes.
All right. Well, Now that we've said shop local enough, we'll let you go for this episode of the MFGcast. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I'm Kurt.
I'm Jason.
We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.